From what the tapes suggest, Ben's phone trip to California in 1974 was all fun, and this contrasts starkly with his later telephone work from 75 through 78, which involved hundreds of hours spent standing at payphones doing historical preservation work, plus making endless inquiries about outdated 1960s New York City routing patterns. But anyway, these were the good times. Here are some more excerpts from the tapes recorded at Barry's house in Van Nuys. First, an extended sample of some of the calls that were going over Barry's phone line during Ben's visit, which actually were all being paid for, since Barry was in the habit of paying for his phone calls and even accepting collect calls from party line girls back in Baltimore.
Last month it was $163.
$104.
What? Ben, how much was it? I have a friend over from New York.
He says his phone bill's average about $150.
I can't believe it. This phone business is so cool. I can't believe it.
This what? This phone what is cool?
This phone business.
How old are you?
Huh?
You seem younger, really, you do.
How old do I sound?
You sound, well, by the way that you're afraid to, you know, call this.
No, I just didn't know. I wasn't sure because, you know.
Well, what other...
Baltimore don't seem to know about phones. They don't even know how to use their phones.
Wait a minute. What other exposure do you have to telephones besides this?
Well, my brother works for the telephone.
Really?
Do you call, like, the beep line and the weather report?
They don't have the beep line.
I used to call the beep line, like, maybe a couple of years ago when I was, like...
Where did you live, though?
Where did I live?
Well, yeah,
in Baltimore.
What part, though?
Northwest.
Oh, so, yeah, you could get it. Seemed
right.
How could you get it, then, Barry? What did you dial for it?
311, you know. It's a vacant, you know, it's a vacant car.
Well, what does she get when she dials 311 now? From this area. From the area of Pikeston.
Towson. What do you get when you dial?
I don't live in, I'm out of Towson now.
Where are you?
The Towson number. This is Northwest Baltimore.
Are you going to be at this number for a long time or what?
Well, this is the only number you can get me at. My other phone was disconnected.
That's not what I want to know. I asked you whether you're going to be at this number for a long time.
Tonight I will.
Well, I'm from Northwest Baltimore.
I thought you were from California.
Yes, but you know, I have moved away from there about a year and a half ago.
He's been in Baltimore
most of my life. Most of my life.
He lives in Baltimore.
I tell you, this phone business is so cool.
Phone business.
Phone business.
This phone business is so cool.
Phone business is so cool.
My other phone was disconnected.
My other oh, forget it. Anyway, here's Barry talking on the conference back in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Steve,
yeah.
Is this that loop you gave out?
Yeah.
I love this. This is funny.
I know. It's always busy.
Wow. Hello. It was busy, wasn't it? Hey, Michelle.
Hi.
I want to give you my number.
Hi.
It's area code 213.
Yeah, I'm on California.
You can call collect.
Call
me collect. 213-786.
Oh, you collect
it.
Crazy.
No, call collect.
I did have but he doesn't know me.
Okay, so I'll get to know you. Erica 213-786.
I'm not calling collect or a loop in California.
It's not a loop. It's my home number.
Hey,
Steve Tell, it's my home number.
He's willing to pay for it. Why don't you call him?
Oh.
It's not, that's
Sunshine.
All right,
fine.
All right, I'm calling.
Do you have it? It's 213.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
All right, that was the 301-667-9930-44.
Okay.
Probably a telephone company conference. This is founded by Steve from Baltimore, who subsequently gave it out to local people.
That erased. You're not even supposed to have it on tape, you know, what it is.
Well, nevertheless. Why? Everyone else does. That's right. We put everything. Okay, here's my new touchstone pad. First, the unaccompanied. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. A musical arrangement on the touchstone by Ben, who engineered the operation of the touchstone modification. With plasticine seas and marmalade skies, the girl with kaleidoscope eyes, picture yourself on the
Phone's ringing. Better see who it is.
Hello.
Ah, someone's obviously auditioning to be the lead musician on the NBC Monitor jingle. Seriously, though, this is a call from someone at a phone company switchboard who's calling Ben up and not only MFing tones in his ear, but making various call attempts, mostly to international destinations. And none of these calls seem to go through. The process of making an overseas call is two-stage. First, he has to plug into a trunk, which flashes. Then he dials a 3-digit code, which refers to one of the international gateways. All of these, except Montreal's, which you weren't even supposed to use from the U.S., would answer with a flash and a tone, after which you would then dial the second sequence of numbers, which included the country code, area code, and local number, etc. Unfortunately, this tape was recorded at an extremely low level, but here are a few excerpts, noise and all.
Yes, hello there. Yes, now, that's correct. Wait, go ahead. Oh, I see you got... Getting an hour calling.
I'm sorry. We're.
Well, I was hoping.
Did you know that Duffy confiscated the tone from the Montreal Center? That's for giving phone freaks access to overseas.
There are two more of these calls, interspersed with a call from a party line girl who wants to play Guess Who I Am games, then gets rid of her quickly. And by the way, when he hangs up on the party line girl, notice how, with his phone hung up, you can still hear her. That's an attribute of the old network. And there's also a call from me, in which I'm playing him a tape. The tape's not included here.
Hello there.
Recording. The codes for all Australian international operators have been changed. Please consult the new Australian area code list. This is a recording. The codes for all Australian international operators have been changed. Please consult the new Australian area code list.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Ben.
Yes, who's calling?
A person.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think?
It's that idiot again. Hello. Again?
Hello?
Who's this?
This is,
No.
Who's this?
Huh?
Who are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Who am I? Michelle.
Michelle.
Yeah.
Huh? Look, I have no time for games now. I'm busy.
What?
Goodbye.
What? What? You can tell?
You met Evan? Okay, here we go.
The following tape is a production of Group Bell. The following tape is a production of Group Bell.
Up, hold it, sorry, it just started to go under. I've got to clean the heads.
Ah, the joys of Radio Shack concert tape. High noise tape. Yes, siree. I wish he hadn't done that. But anyway, one thing he also recorded at a low level were a lot of silent calls to official numbers. Now, in California, the official numbers were in the 00-100 group, which actually makes a lot more sense than 99, which they used in New York, because 00 is so awkward, so it only makes sense for the phone company to put their official numbers on 00. Phones in the switch room, when you would call them, the ringtone had a certain gurgly quality, which even though this is a low-quality recording, that does come through, so I'm leaving some of these calls in. So all of these calls are to numbers that are in the 00-100 group of various LA prefixes.
786-0042.
Buildings, Glenn.
This guy has an answer machine. He just came back. Maybe I'll catch it again later.
San Isidros. Hello? San Isidros.
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Who's this?
This is the Van Isidros office.
Hi, this is Niefer.
Hello, Niefer.
I just picked up 10002. Is anybody else on here?
60,000 rang and just a second ago and nobody was on it either. Somebody's playing games.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Sherman Oaks, Toby.
the number doesn't answer.
Here's a call to someone who turns up on California phone tapes quite a bit.
Maps to Stars Homes, this is Al Diamond. This is a recording. Please call back between 12 noon and 12:15 p.m. or 7 and 7:15 p.m. or 11 and 11:15 p.m. I will take your call personally at those times. If you wish to call at any other time, please dial 1-415-333-39. Now, listen to the following very carefully. I do not guarantee to be on the line at all listed times. If by 10 after the hour you still get this recording, then try again at the next listed time. Remember, I do not always get to a phone to monitor at the listed times, so do not expect me at all times to be answering your call at the three listed times. To reach me at 12, 7, or 11 p.m., call this number. If busy, then 851-0414. If busy, then 876-3111. If busy, then 278-4111. If busy, scan again, but keep trying. I'll stay on the line as long as necessary to get all calls.
That's the first of many recordings of Al Bernay's phone lines, on which he was known to do various interesting things, usually informational recordings and conferences. I recently asked Mark Bernay what Al was up to this time.
Please dial 1-415-333-39.
Is that you?
That's my phone number. How dare he give that up?
This time it looks like Al is up visiting you. And he set up his phone lines, I guess, so that what people can call in and he can talk to them live. He calls down from Oakland?
Yes. He had some machinery that he built himself, because there was certainly nothing available on the market back then like this. And it wouldn't have been legal to connect it up to the phone line anyway back then, unless you bought it from the phone company. Anyway, if someone calls his phone number when he doesn't dial in, he had a homemade answering machine that would answer it. When he would dial in on his secret number, that would turn his lines into a loop-around kind of thing where someone calling up, instead of getting his answering machine, would get him live as a live connection. I would just kind of hang on the line and talk to each person and then tell them to hang up, and they would hang up, and then the next person would call in while he was just sitting there waiting for the call. He did, at other times when he was home, usually, although occasionally he would do it automatically, but usually only when he was home, he did have multiple phone lines, and he would run conferences where people could dial in on his various phone lines and get connected into each other just to chat with each other.
Yeah, I've heard tapes of those conferences, and then I've heard all those educational tapes. And so on his phone lines, were the recordings running most of the time?
Yes.
I know he ran educational tapes. Were there any general themes of the tapes or themes he would come back to?
You know, once I moved out of Los Angeles, and long distance being so expensive and everything, I didn't really call them that often, so I don't know. He would do a lot of radio station simulation things where maybe education would be one part of it, but then he'd do fake radio commercials and fake IDs of the station, things like that.
Oh, yes, I recall K-I-L-L Death Valley.
Exactly, exactly. I think he said there really was one. I forget. I think there really was such a station, or maybe he just made it up because of, like you hear on my phone trip tapes, him always saying, he killed me to death, or I'm going to kill you to death for doing what you just did.
Right.
Like that. So that's where the K-I-L-L came from. And when he was in the mood for running a conference, most of the time he would run it by hand. He just had a little switchboard, a homemade switchboard, just with, you know, manual kind of old-fashioned telephone switches or something that just had multiple poles as you flip the switch. And what he would do is he would answer someone in isolation. So a new person rang in, he would talk to them personally and alone just to find out who they are and make sure they're a serious caller and they actually wanted to get in on the conference. And then he would flip them in on the conference, and then he would watch for someone hanging up, and I forget how he knew which line hung up, but somehow he just kind of threw the foots around to figure out which line hung up, and then he'd release it. And he would just sit there running this by hand for an hour or two a day. He did also have machines that could automatically answer multiple lines and throw people into a conference, but that sort of thing needs to be monitored very closely because even one person goofing off on it will ruin the conference for everybody else. So my memory is they only ran that when he was home and could monitor it in the background, then run over there and knock someone off if necessary. And then, as you say, other times of the day he'd run recordings, and that was also with totally home-built equipment. At the time, I say, it was illegal to put anything of your own on the line, and the phone company was starting to give people trouble for doing that. You know, if you're as public as Al was or as I was in running recordings and running things that are well-known, the phone company would sometimes call us up and give us a hard time about it. So what we did is we bought these coupling devices to make it legal. Earlier in time, you just weren't allowed to put anything on the phone line ever, or even a physical attachment. You weren't even allowed to buy something that clips onto the microphone or just anything that touched their precious phones anyway was actually illegal at one time. But by this time, you could put your own equipment on the line if you paid for monthly a special interface device from the phone company that would protect their network, supposedly, from your horrible, dirty equipment.
Yeah, allegedly protect their network. Boy, what a total farce that was.
I know. But there were many different kinds of those coupling devices depending on what you needed to do. For what Al and what I actually did, we were supposed to get this model that I have no idea what the name of it or anything was, but there was a model that was several dollars a month that would completely simulate a phone line. So our equipment would think it saw a phone line. It would get ringing, and it would answer, and it would interact with the phone line exactly as though it was actually on the real phone line, but the phone company interface device was actually faking the ring signals. When our equipment picked up the phone line or thought it was, the interface device would actually pick up the real phone line. Then when we hung up, the interface device would hang up the real phone line. So there was no connection other than the audio path between our equipment and the real phone line. Except the simulation of it. But that's what we were supposed to have. We discovered after a while that the phone company could care less what kind of interface device you had, so we just bought the cheapest one that was not suitable for what we were doing and could not do what we were using it for, and just left that sitting on the wall and unused.
So you just rented it and then didn't go through it?
Yes.
There you go.
Because the cheapest one, I have a memory of it being 50 cents a month at the time or something. It was strictly like you'd buy today at Radio Shack to record off the phone line. It was purely an audio connection into the phone line, but couldn't answer or hang up or couldn't give any kind of supervision.
Gotcha.
So that's what we actually in practice bought, and the phone company never bothered us again as long as we were paying for something.
Al's recordings were so well known in L.A. that when phone freak Dave Glendale began running recordings on his extra phone line, he borrowed liberally from Al.
You have reached 240-2350. By the way, if you do decide that you're going to hang up on the great Dave Glendale on my very first recording, let me show you now what will happen to you. Well, after that, I hope none of you are entertaining the idea of hanging up on me, are you?
Fine.
Well, Al Diamond, how dare you entertain that idea? I'm going to kill you to death. Are you laughing at the great Dave Glendale? I am going to kill you to death.
8 8 8 8 8 8 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7
recordings are made possible
they
for the boys to sell maps to Stars Hall.
Will you be quiet? No, that gets rid of him, finally.
Eight, seven, six, four, one, three, two.
What is Joe Klein, Big Boss Joe, giving out your phone number for?
The other Dave Glendale tape that I found was better. It features Dave Glendale as a frustrated electricity teacher who can't seem to get his student to figure out how to hook the wires up right to do such things as, well, mute incoming phone calls so the caller doesn't have to pay, etc., etc., etc. But unfortunately, the sound quality of that one is even worse than what you just heard. Ah, this tape is a nightmare. Anyway.
N213786. Home station. Now for, it's the same office. I don't know if it's the same ARCA group. 781, coin station.
Directory assistance?
Yes, testing circuits. Please release your position.
Three-slot coin phones, which had the mechanical coin sounds, in 1974 were becoming more and more rare. Here, Ben takes this opportunity for perhaps the last time in his life to do an impression of the famous Vancouver 1121 operator training recording.
Okay. 5 cents. 10 cents. 25 cents. 5 cents, 10 cents, 25 cents, 5 cents, 10 cents, 25 cents, 5 cents, 10 cents, 25 cents.
By the way, 781 was in the same Van Nuys building as 786, but in a different switch. In other words, a different marker group. Marker group is a crossbar term. In a large metro area like LA in 1974, there was a complex system of zones with varying charges for local calls depending upon the distance. From coin phones, the charge for nearby local calls was just 10 cents, but that didn't include the entire area. This meant that there had to be a way to collect more than just 10 cents for the longer local calls. By the late 70s, the multi-zone calls were simply handled by the same system that handled long-distance calls. But in Van Nuys in 1974, there was still no long-distance dialing from coin phones at all, and an old-fashioned cord board was in use. This meant long-distance calls had to be handled by simply dialing zero and asking the operator to start the call from scratch. But extended local calls used another system called Coin Zone. Here's how it typically worked. Ben's just dialed a number that's a 30-cent call from here. Instead of going to a long-distance switch, we've connected to a special local trunk which has the ability to come up on the local operator cord board. When the operator answers, the trunk circuit returns Ben's dime automatically.
30 cents for 3 minutes, please.
Yes, one moment, please.
The operator stayed on the line only to hear Ben's deposit, and then, when she pulls her cord out, the call goes through automatically again, until such time as 3 minutes of actual conversation have passed, then it calls the operator back to collect overtime. Coin Zone is nice, because you get to hear the originating office, in this case Van Nuys, using its trunks to the extended local area, rather than concentrating everything through the long-distance switch.
Sir,
30 cents for 3 minutes, please.
Maps to Stars Holmes, this is Al Diamond. This is a recording.
By the way, I apologize for the recording quality here. We heard this recording before on a better quality tape, so I'll just skip to the end.
So you will be able to get your call in.
Okay, so Al's recording has hung up, and because this goes out on local trunks, not through the long-distance tandem, we get the standard crossbar 5 20-second holding time. So we'll get to stay on the line 20 seconds after Al hangs up, and then we'll hear Ben's money collected. The low tone sound, which is associated with coin collect, is not there for any technical reason to collect the coin. It's actually there for the benefit of service observing. In the 1970s, a small portion of phone calls were actually listened to by live service observers. The phone company had these to make sure the equipment and operators were working correctly. They weren't allowed to listen to the conversation, but they would listen to the entire setup of the call. These tones were there to tell the service observer that a coin was actually being collected or returned. Now, the high tone, most often associated with phones off the hook, was used for coin return. In this next example, Ben actually asks the operator to press her coin collect and then return keys, and you hear the appropriate tones as she does so.
For 3 minutes.
Operator, collect the coin, please. Testing circuits.
Collect it?
Yes. Collect again, please. Return, please. Return again, please. Thank you.
There are some other tapes of CoinZone elsewhere that are higher quality than this one. I tell you, this tape has required a heck of a lot of editing and filtering for various reasons, mostly that it was recorded at a low level on high noise tape. The last thing Ben recorded from the LA area was this.
Call did not go through. Will you please hang up and try again? This is a recording. 21315. I'm sorry, your call did not go through. Will you please hang up and try again? This is a recording. 21315.
Well, that's it for Van Nuys. The next stop is on the way back from this trip, a stop in Indio, a GTE area where there's a step that, though it wasn't recorded with the highest quality tape, still has a lot of charm.